Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Giovanni Cortolo is here as well, ladies and gentlemen. Giovanni is our great friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, Vice President of Small Business Policy at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, somebody who works very hard. I've seen him in action. Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen the sweat on his brow and the dirt under his fingernails out there scratching and clawing and digging for you and me and his work on our behalf in Washington, D.C. And he's our good friend Giovanni Cortolo. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be on your show, and thank you for all the great things you're doing to promote small business.
Well, I appreciate that. And of course, folks, Giovanni, one of the reasons Giovanni is so passionate about what he does for you and me is because he has been one of us, right? Giovanni, you've had your own business before.
I tell you, for 25 years, I've owned, operated, sold, bought small businesses. It's a great, great opportunity for most people to get financial empowerment, and it was truly terrific that I'm able to come here to Washington and advocate on behalf of small businesses.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about, Giovanni, and is the job summit that was conducted last Thursday at the White House. I've got some issues with what happened there. For one thing, you weren't invited, as the U.S. Chamber was not represented there, if I'm correct.
That's correct.
And neither was another group that I'm familiar with, the National Federation of Independent Business. I've been a member of the NFIB for almost 20 years. Another group, the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, which Karen Kerrigan's group, pretty sure they weren't invited. I've been a member of that group for about 12 years. And I wasn't invited, Jim. Can you believe I wasn't invited to the job summit? I mean, that's preposterous, isn't it?
Well, Jim, I think you would have been a great participant. to your point, not one major business organization in Washington was invited to it. We looked at it as an opportunity. We sent a letter to the president. We feel that talking about jobs is the right thing to do right now.
Right.
Certainly, we gave them our opinion by mail, and we continue to think that focusing on jobs is important for the American economy.
Well, so what you're saying is we might not like the way they're going about it, but we're glad that they're talking about it, and that's kind of the way I feel about small business, Giovanni. You and I both remember a time when no politician ever mentioned the term small business. I mean, 20 years ago, you couldn't pry the word small business out of any politician's mouth, and now it's on all their lips. And so it's okay. I don't like the way they're treating small business for the most part in Washington, D.C., but at least they're saying our name, and eventually, you know, maybe some of it will connect. But this jobs thing is troubling to me, Giovanni, because you and I both know where the jobs are created. You and I both know that you can't pull two or three small business owners out of a middle America and stick them in a job summit and make that a legitimate jobs forum. You've got to have the people represented there who actually create the lion's share of the jobs. And you know, Paul Krugman was invited. I mean, for goodness' sake, the liberal economist Tom Friedman. You know, I mean, what does Tom Friedman know about creating jobs? I mean, this is almost like it was a Hollywood list, like a velvet rope kind of thing. And what came out of that thing, Giovanni? Did anything of substance happen?
Well, not as of yet, and certainly we think at the chamber. I think we have to look at creating jobs, but how can we do it when there's such uncertainty in the economy?
Right.
The small businesses I talk to have been hammered, not only on the federal basis, but state and local. We've saved a lot of jobs when it comes to the public sector, but if we're going to have an economy, we got to create jobs in the private sector, and as you mentioned before, that's only going to happen if we get small businesses back on track. These small businesses have one eye on their business and one eye on Capitol Hill, and they're terrified by what they see.
Well, and I'll tell you something else that terrifies them. When they see this job summit happen, and you and I are not invited, Giovanni, but union leaders are invited.
That's
now,
correct.
Giovanni, correct me if I'm wrong. No union ever created a job in the marketplace. They created union jobs, meaning like leadership jobs and things like that, union leadership jobs. But in terms of a job in the marketplace, unions don't create jobs.
No, they don't.
Why were they invited and you and I weren't?
Well, you know, it's that's hard to say, and we'd really have to ask the White House what their thought process.
Well, but doesn't that speak when a small business is looking at what they should do next year for 2010, and they know that some people in our government want to pass the cap and trade. The card check bill, the union bill. Some people want to pass that, meaning making it easier for unions to organize in small businesses, and yet we're not invited, but the unions are. What does that say to my small business?
Well, it says to them that, you know, they're the process is that they're setting up is to certainly talk about jobs and talk about small business and hug a small business person, but in you know, when you have big swaths of the economic community being changed, you know, you mentioned cap and trade. They don't know what their energy costs are going to be.
Right.
They don't know what they're going to do as far as being unionized. They don't know what their health care costs
what that's
are going to be
cost.
Next year.
Exactly.
Yet they're being encouraged to add jobs. And if I, you know, if I was back in small business, it would give me pause as to whether or not I wanted to add that additional job, not knowing what it's going to cost me next
That's
year.
Exactly right. I mean, if cap and trade goes through, my energy bill is going to go up. If a card check goes through, then I'm going to have less control over my payroll expenses. If the health care goes up, I'm going to have taxes immediately, but I may not get any benefits for about 3 years if the health care plan goes through the way it's currently proposed. You know, and of course, somebody can argue whether any of that's going to happen, but that's the concern right now. That's what's up in the air right now, isn't it?
That's correct. And then you have proposals that are on the table that could legitimately help create jobs, like three trade deals that are on the table that mm-hmm. could help us increase the jobs by 250,000 if they were passed. And they're just sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, exactly. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to get Giovanni to talk to us about where he thinks the health care bill is right now. I think the cap-and-trade thing is kind of... I think the kibosh has been put on that for a while with some of the new revelations. And but the health care, that's the 800-pound gorilla in the middle of the living room right now. I'll get Giovanni to tell us what he thinks about that. He is working on this really hard. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, if you're there, you're hanging out on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. That's where I hang out. So check it out. And we got our good buddy Giovanni Cortolo back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Giovanni is Vice President of Small Business Policy at U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and that's uschamber.com, right?
That's correct.
You're right. uschamber.com, and I hope you check it out when you get a chance. And they got a lot of good stuff there that will help you with your small business, and especially with regard to understanding what's happening on the public policy side with regard to small business. Giovanni, one of the things is preventing small business owners from hiring. That will be preventing them from thinking about hiring, because most of us are looking at 2010. We're budgeting. We're trying to forecast sales. We're budgeting expenses. We're seeing where we need to add resources, including people. But this healthcare thing is hanging over our head right now. That's legislation that is in the works in Washington right now, about to come out of the Senate. There's a vote. Is there a vote going to happen any day now?
Well, you're right. It's a big one of the big dark clouds that are hanging over small businesses. Right now, they're engaged in debate. They passed cloture on having debate, and that was the big vote the other week. Currently, they're looking to limit debate, and that's what they do in the Senate. They have to have 60 votes to engage in debate and another 60 votes to limit debate, else they can just go on and talk forever.
Yeah.
What Reid wants to do is try to lay the end game for final debate, and either having a cloture vote on limiting debate on the underlying bill or on a manager's amendment, which would be crafted to have all the compromises they feel in order they would need in order to get a final bill through the Senate. Now, what they did, of course, as you well know, one of the big factors in getting this through is addressing the public option. The liberals want...
Remind folks what the public option is.
Public option is a option whereby a government would have a stake in the health care, providing health care to individuals.
It wouldn't just be legislation that somehow regulates the free market health care economy. It would actually be the government... it'd be like a new form of Medicare, yeah.
Right, it'd be like a new form of Medicare, whereby you would buy these insurance programs from the government. It would compete with private industry, and it would be subsidized by tax dollars,
mm-hmm.
eventually leading to the government takeover of health.
It would be the camel's nose under the tent, and a lot of Democrats have a problem with this, don't they?
That's correct. So what Reid did is he put together a group of 10 Democrats, 5 liberals, and 5 moderates in order to try to work out a compromise because he doesn't feel he's going to get any votes from the Republicans. What they've come up with over the weekend, and you can see where I'm spending my weekends, is not a public option that would be administered through HHS, but one that would possibly be administered through the Office of Personnel Management.
That doesn't make me feel any more warm and fuzzy, though.
It doesn't give me any warm feelings either. But what they're trying to craft something that would give the moderates cover. So
what's more important, Giovanni, is giving the moderates cover rather than creating something that's actually what Americans want.
Well, they're in a catch-22.
It's politics. It's all politics now, isn't it?
Yeah, because they know that the liberals will not vote for a plan that does not have a public option, and the moderates will not vote for a public plan that has a robust public option.
Go back and look at my blog, folks. Look at my article, my column that I wrote 6 months ago, Giovanni. I predicted that the closer we got to the end of the year, there would be less talk about reform, quality reform, and it would wind up becoming nothing but politics, all about Congress, not about the Americans, and that's where we are right now.
That's correct. Now, you know, the process goes forward. If they can get something that they can pass the Senate, it actually can go to the House and be voted on in the House and become law.
After the conference, they got to...
Well, they don't have to. They still don't have to go to conference.
Really?
Well, they could just take the Senate's bill and pass it in the House.
That's one way to get it through this year, isn't it?
That's one way they get it through. The other way is what you said, and that's go to conference and take parts and pieces out of each bill and cobble something together.
Then it has to go back and be voted on by both houses.
That's correct.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think? Is there any chance we're not going to have some kind of a health care bill for the president to sign?
I would give more than a 50% chance of it happening
because
the momentum is there.
And the Democrats are willing to spend whatever it takes to get a vote.
Yes, yes.
We know they've already done.
Well, you've seen that with Mary Landrieu.
Yeah, $300 billion.
Buying her vote off with funds going to her.
I mean, $300 million. I didn't mean to say billion. Although it could have been, right?
Well, $300 billion. What's a couple zeros when you talk about the government?
Well, exactly. Hey, Giovanni, give us that website again, please.
It's uschamber.com, and we always enjoy small businesses and what you do, Jim.
Thank you, Giovanni, for all you do. I know you work hard up there. I'm proud of you. Hang in there. Giovanni Cortolo, ladies and gentlemen, he's working hard for you. Got to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
And we are airplanes today.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.